were men of prayer. We have records of them praying for hours before they made a decision. Even those who weren't strong Christians or weren't necessarily good examples of what a believer should be, they admitted, hey, we can't start this country without God's help. And so tonight we're going to look at a few different prayer commands that were given throughout Scripture, and we're going to begin in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James 5, verse 16, says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And in this passage, we see that we are commanded to pray for other believers. And as a church, we often forget to pray for those around us. Now, up here in Vermont, we have to drive a little bit to get from one church to another. But in the South, there's a church like every other house. And when we're traveling in the South, often we'll go to a church and they'll say, "Oh, well, what church were you at yesterday?" And we'll say, "This church." And they'll say, "Oh, that's the one I used to go to." And then they'll ask us where we're going the next day, and we'll tell them, and they'll say, "Oh, we're thinking of trying that one next." And we see all the time believers who are just fighting within a church. And usually it's over something really insignificant, like the color of the carpet or something that someone said to you 20 years ago that didn't even really apply to you. And all of these grudges that we hold on to as believers. And in any group of believers, this can happen. Our traveling teams, we have 7 people who travel in one van for 11 weeks. If you've ever been on one car trip, you know that there can be a difference of opinion every now and then when you're stuck in a car for that long. And now this team has done really well. But sometimes you let little tiny things start bothering you about other people. And I always tell our groups when we travel that if you're praying for each member of your team every day, it's easy to let those little things go. The things that are just personal preferences, that are just a matter of opinion, that are just personality traits that come out. When you're really honestly praying for fellow believers, it's easy to say, you know what, it's not a big deal. And it's the same thing in our churches. There may be people in our churches who aren't exactly the same as we are, and that's all right. It's okay to have variety within the church. And we often forget that, and we hold on to these things. But when we pray for one another, and really pray, not just saying, "Oh, I hope they don't do that annoying thing that keeps bugging me," but honestly praying for one another, praying maybe that other believers will be more successful than we are, praying that they'll get more recognition, praying that they'll be able to have victory in areas where we struggle, that's what will change our churches and cause us to become unified as a body of believers. You know, when the world comes in to visit our churches, they don't want to see a bunch of fighting. They get that everywhere else. In their homes, in their workplaces, everywhere else, we see people fighting. And our churches should show a stark contrast to that idea that the world presents. And we can achieve that through this verse by praying for fellow believers. But in Matthew chapter 5, we see another prayer command that is given. We've seen to pray for fellow believers. But in Matthew chapter 5, Christ is preaching. And he says in verse 44, Matthew chapter 5, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now this is a little bit harder than the verse in James chapter 5. In James 5, at least we're praying for people who are on the same side as we are. At least people who are on the same team. But this verse is telling us to pray for our enemies. Now, this goes against our whole mindset as Americans, thinking we have the basketball finals going on right now. You don't see when someone from the Spurs makes a basket, you don't see LeBron James walking over to them and saying, "That was a really great shot. I hope that you do that again." It just doesn't happen. Normally, we have a completely different reaction than that. And it's completely against our mindset to support our enemies or to root for people on the other team. And yet Christ is telling us in this passage to pray for our enemies and those who despitefully use us and persecute us. And he's not even saying pray that they'll stop doing what they're doing or pray that something bad will happen to them. He just says pray for them. And the best example that I've seen of this in my life was when I was in high school. I went to a public high school, and we had a guy who hated Christians. And he was a very confirmed atheist. He hated everything to do with any type of religion. If you suggested that there was a God, he was ready to argue against you and say why that could not be possible, any type of God. And we'd been having some problems with him. We had a group of Christians who met from my high school. And one night we were meeting and we decided we were just going to pray for him. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, okay, we need to pray for him, but I don't know what's going to happen. But we prayed for him then every time we met after that. We prayed for him and prayed that he would get saved and that he would be able to turn his life around. And I graduated from high school. Nothing had changed. And right before I went down for my first semester of college, we both worked in the same office that summer. He came in one day, and he was really nervous, which was strange for him. And he said, I got saved last night. And with the incredible faith I had them, I said, what? And he said, well, I got saved. And I said, well, can you explain that to me? And he took me through the whole plan of salvation. He said, I realized that there was a God and that the only way that I could take care of the sin that was keeping me from him was through trusting in what Christ had done at Calvary. There were no works that I could do to earn it. There was nothing that I could try to produce to gain his favor. It was only through trusting in the free gift that he gave, the whole thing. And looking back through these past few years, people from my high school who had prayed for him, several of them aren't in church anymore, but he's the one that if I had to go to someone and I needed encouragement or if I wanted to see an example of someone who was a strong Christian, I would go to him. And it just showed me that through prayer, God can really do what we think is impossible. There may be people in your lives, relatives, co-workers, neighbors, that you have prayed for years to receive salvation, and you think that it's never going to happen. Yet God can change someone's heart when we least expect it to happen, and often that's when it does happen. And so Christ is telling us to pray for our enemies. We see that we need to pray for fellow believers. But in 2 Thessalonians, we see another, a little bit more specific prayer command that Paul gives us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And we see in this passage that Paul is asking for prayer for those in ministry. And as a church, we usually neglect this. A lot of times we take prayer requests for those around us or for those that we know need help. And we forget that our pastors and those in ministry need our prayer as well. And especially when we look later on in Hebrews, there's a passage in verse 13 that says to pray for purity in ministry, which is a big issue in America right now. There may be one pastor in the whole state of Vermont who messes up, and the media finds him, and that's the one that everybody hears about. They see, oh, there was that one pastor who fell into sin. So all Christians must be like that. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. No one can really follow all those rules that they have. So why even bother? And it presents a barrier for those of us who are trying to witness and trying to reach out to the lost. And so we need to be praying for purity in ministry. Paul prays here for specifically that the word of the Lord may have free course, that nothing would get in the way of preaching as it's going out. And so praying for those in ministry. And there are several other prayer commands that we could look at throughout the scriptures. We have Matthew 9:38, praying for laborers to be sent unto the harvest. All the time we see pastors who have been in the ministry for maybe 40, 50 years, and then they have to retire for physical reasons, and no one takes over that pulpit. We see missionaries coming back from the mission field, and no one goes to take over the ministry. So praying for laborers to be sent. We see in Matthew 26:41 that we need to pray to escape temptation. Often we wait until the situation has already passed and we've fallen into it to pray. But Christ says, pray before it even comes up, before you even fall into temptation. If you know that you struggle with something, pray to escape that situation. We see 1 Timothy 2:2 that we need to pray for our government. Psalm 122:6 tells us to pray for Israel. And just in case anyone got missed, in 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul says, pray for all men. So, if there's someone who wasn't mentioned in any other passage, Paul says, pray for that person. And so we see throughout Scripture that we're given many prayer commands. And I think that often as Christians, we're afraid to spend too much time in prayer because we don't want it to sound greedy or like just a list of things that we want or that we think that we need. And yet there are things that we've been commanded to pray for in Scripture. It's not being greedy if God told us to do it. So I know that I'm a very forgetful person. If I didn't keep these in my Bible, I would remember to pray for them. So I want to challenge you this week, as you're spending time in prayer, as you're spending time with God, to think of what you're praying for is what He's commanded us to pray for. Look through, find these passages, find different verses on prayer, and talk to God the way that He has commanded us to speak with Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. I thank You for the wonderful weather You gave us outside today. And I pray that You would help us this week as different situations come up in our lives. I pray that You would help us as trials come up, as we saw in several of the drama pieces, that we would know how to turn to You in those situations. I pray that we would use different struggles and problems in our lives to be a testimony to others and to be able to show them how You love us and care for us and provide for us, that we can be a witness for Your goodness in our lives. I thank You for the opportunity to pray and for the privilege that You give us as Christians to be able to communicate with You. I pray that we would take advantage of that and that we wouldn't neglect our time with You, but that we would spend time praying every day. And I pray that You would use that to draw us closer as a body of believers, closer to one another, and closer to You. I thank You for all that You do for us and for Your love for us. In Your name we pray. Amen. Well, we are going to shift gears just a little bit now. We are from Pensacola Christian College, as we've mentioned several times. And so we do have a brief DVD presentation to show you about the school. I know that you have our groups come mostly every year, but this is a brand new DVD. So if you've seen it before several times, and if you've memorized the old one, you can start working on the new one tonight. So we do have that to show you at this time.
College, and you want a lot out of a college, like high-level academics, quality faculty, and plentiful resources.
How about a focus on spiritual growth and plenty of extracurricular opportunities, all in a stable environment that has been designed to help you grow personally, professionally, and spiritually?
You see, Pensacola Christian College has been the perfect fit for me, and I think you might find it to be the perfect fit for you as well.
So come join in, and you'll see why Pensacola Christian College is everything that you've been looking for.
One of the main reasons I came to PCC, the quality of the academics. I came here because I didn't want a place that would just give me an education, but a place that would really prepare me to engage my field on a professional level. I love the academics here. They're designed to push and stretch me, giving me a thorough understanding of all my subjects and a knowledge of how to use them. Going to any college and taking a couple courses wasn't what I had in mind. I wanted a place where the faculty were qualified, the subjects thoroughly explored, and courses designed with me in mind. Since the college offers a wide variety of concentrations in so many areas, I was able to study exactly what I needed. The quality of the academics at PCC is amazing. I'm a transfer student, and compared to the other schools I went to, PCC is incredible.
Our goal is to take the theoretical, compare that with scripture, and then apply it in the classroom in a practical way.
The faculty here are fantastic. They're extremely knowledgeable and always willing to help us along every step of the way.
Teachers try to focus on God in every lesson. They really bring that out in the way they come across and what they're trying to teach us from a godly, biblical perspective.
I love to see students when they finally get a concept. Working one-on-one is probably the most rewarding part of teaching.
While the academics here at PCC are fantastic, what drives our standard for excellence is our focus on the Word of God. We daily take time out with chapel and campus church services to look into God's Word, and we are blessed to hear from a variety of speakers from all over the country, as well as our own campus church pastor. Here at the campus church, the Word of God is exalted.
It is a joy to have our college students participate in the campus church while they're here. To be part of a local vibrant church with strong biblical preaching, wonderful worshipful music, and to get to hear so many men of God preach in chapel. And on top of all that, to have fellowship with hundreds of young people just like you that have given their life for service is an essential component of the Christian college experience.
That was one of the highlights of our day, but there's still many more to come.
That's right. Like now we're headed to one of my favorite classes of the day.
Yeah? What's that?
Lunch. Now, I don't know what you think of college food, but I bet you weren't thinking this. Now I'm heading over to the Sports Center for PE class. You know, climbing one of the largest rock walls in the country is a pretty awesome way to spend class. Come on, let me show you. Now, don't think that college is all about books and papers and homework. It's not. It's about so much more than that. It's about developing in lots of different areas. For instance, I get to do this for a class. And when you're not in class, there are all sorts of extracurricular things to do. Whether you're attending an Eagles game with a friend, playing ball for your collegian, taking part in a fine arts program, or just sharpening your skills on the flow rider, there's always something to do.
So now you've seen a little bit of Pensacola Christian College, but there's a lot you haven't seen yet.
So take a look at us online at pccinfo.com for even more information about the college.
And we'd love to encourage you to come for a visit and stay in one of the residence halls, so you can see for yourself what it's like to join in at PCC.
Now, you may be saying that all this sounds great, but you can't really afford a college education anyway. Well, that's where the good news comes in. You see, PCC has been blessed to be one of the most affordable colleges around. And with our available scholarships and our work assistance program, money really doesn't have to be an issue.
So go ahead and visit the website and give us a call with any questions you may have.
Or come and check us out for yourself. We would love to have you join in.
Good evening. My name is Professor Fillmore Funny Duddy. Currently, I serve as Chief Grammarian and Chairman of All Things Not Interesting at the Institute of Higher Learning. For tonight's lecture, I will be assisted by my capable assistant, Bartholomew. Everyone say hello, Bartholomew.
Hello.
Whatever. In the due course of recent history, English grammarians have come to the morphological cognizance as to why the articulated expression of language is not so readily apprehended as the written version. The presence of tiny lexicographical notation, commonly known as punctuation marks, affords the written language the advantage of augmented comprehensibility. On the other hand, the absence of these aforementioned lexicographical notations causes us to flounder about in exacerbating throes of ignorance and miscommunication. I, being the fine grammarian and chairman that I am, have devised a system to which can eliminate this utter confusion. I call it phonetic punctuation. That's all. My capable assistant, Bartholomew, will now demonstrate its magnificence. Bartholomew, come forth. The system comprises of audible utterances which enunciate the marks of punctuation in the English language. Bartholomew will now demonstrate these enunciations. And if you're wondering if these glasses are real, they are. The period. The comma. The colon. The semicolon. The exclamation point. The question mark. Thank you. Quotation marks. And finally, the dash. Wow, you almost knocked the fuzzy out of me. Now, I will narrate a simple love story where Bartholomew inserts the phonetic punctuation marks. You'd think after hearing this story 100 times, I'd get old. Through the open window, there suddenly came light. Beautiful Eleanor sat dreaming of one thing. It was love! It had been there for 3 years, since she and Sir Henry had first met. He had held her in his arms,
stroked her beautiful hair, held her hand, and kissed her.
be the last. Suddenly, there was a sound of approaching footsteps as Eleanor's father walked into the room. He walked across the floor, grabbed Henry by the back of the neck, dragged him across the floor, opened the door, and threw him out! Then suddenly, he landed. The last thing you heard was the sound of Sir Henry's departing horse. The end. Thank you. Stop. We're done. Stop it. Why do you keep doing this?
Well, it's a Friday night, and we're here at Pensacola Christian College in the basketball stadium watching a basketball game. Here we're observing one of the common problems among guys and girls. The communication gap.
So, see that big forward out there? He is going to be our best man next year.
Our best man? Oh, Joe, this is so sudden!
I don't know. I guess we've seen it coming for quite some time.
Well, I mean, there's so much to do, so much to plan. There's the reception and the honeymoon. Oh, Joe, I just love doing things together, don't you?
Yeah, they're a real together team, aren't they?
Yeah, we are. Hey, Joe, how many children do you want to have?
13?
13? Oh, my goodness.
Come on, Raph, that's a horrible call.
No, it's okay. I like children, too, but... Well, I mean, we gotta come up with something to discipline, like a ruler or a paddle, maybe.
Come on, beat them!
Beat them? No. I mean, what's the purpose of discipline if we have to scrape our children off the floor?
Yeah, you got it. Scrape them off the floor! Oh, you mean Mary, your roommate. Yeah. Hi, Mary.
see how it is. You know what? I don't think I want to marry you anymore, Joe. And I never want to see you again. Oh, at least I can cook.
Oh. Well, was it something I said?
After the service, so come by our table, ask us any questions you may have. We have information, some recordings available as well, and we'll turn it back to you.
All right, perfect. Sandy is the yard free. We'll be here tomorrow. If you've got something you need to drop off, we'll be here all day to put it in piles or put it in groups or sort it out, whatever we're going to be doing. There's going to be a little bit of yard work that has to be done and set up for yard free. So if you can help tomorrow, great. I'm going to put the PCC on, so I'll work to work tomorrow. sorting, getting things all set out. Get ready to go. What else do I need to say? Oh, tomorrow night, after we get done all the sorting out, we'll be meeting at the Parsons for volleyball in the evening, weather permitting, weather holding out. So feel free to join us, teens. We'll have supper right around 5:30, so teens, if you can make it, mom and dad can make it with you, and that'll be fine. So we just kind of mix the ensemble, get to talk with the various members there, and have a good time.